Hello and welcome to another episode of Hour of Healing, where each week we talk about life-changing and thought-provoking topics that are engineered to bring you healing no matter what stage of life you find yourself. Friends, I am your weekly host, Joe Deborah, and today we are finishing our conversation on the topic, What is Your Advantage? Friends, joining us again is Dr. Joel Panthapatu, who is a board-certified family medicine physician in New York. He is a friend and also a mentor. Friends, he is a great husband and a great dad. As part of his family medicine practice, he also sub-specializes in Suboxone treatment and also hepatitis C treatment. He is a great communicator, and as you may have noticed from part one, you may have realized that he is a very, very effective communicator. Dr. P, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks again, Jeff. Thanks again for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. P. So in part one, we were talking about what an advantage is. And you had so wonderfully defined for us that advantages are basically the skills that shape us, that we can get either from whether our personal attributes, it could be as a result of chance, that we can be born with it, our spirituality, they all give us advantages. You know, as I sat down and I was thinking, I thought about advantage based on what you had described for us in part one, that they seem to be like the commodity of help, that an advantage is supposed to help make the things that we want to achieve in life achievable or attainable and easy, which means that there is something to be said about how we handle the advantages that we have. And you did help us learn or realize some of the things that we can do really to develop our advantages. You talked about identifying it. You talked about being honest about it. You talked about paying it forward, which is where we will be picking up from today, really. You also talked about being humble about it. And the fact that somebody don't have the advantages that I have doesn't mean I go around thinking or telling them that I'm better than them, which I think is very, very powerful. But in a nutshell, I think what you helped us understand is that advantages in life is really this interplay of personal traits and external things or opportunities that we get that are supposed or that serve as tools to help us do this thing called life. And I think that was very, very powerful. Did I leave anything out in the summary? I tried to do my best impression of your summary.
No, that was an excellent summary.
Wonderful. So I want us in part two to pick up from a few of the other things that gives us advantages in life, because we live in a world, we live in the U.S., obviously, and the things that we see, healthcare, our social systems, it's not the same when you go outside the U.S. So is environment also something that can give us advantage? And how do we handle such advantages, such as the healthcare system, the social system, the political system? Do they give us advantage? And if they do, how do we go about handling those advantages as well? I don't think we touched on those in part one.
Yeah, I think where we are absolutely plays in the role of advantages. You know, if we talk about the United States, there are so many people that want to come to the United States,
absolutely, you know,
because of the opportunity that the United States has. I can tell you that my parents came here in the late 80s because of the opportunity that America had. And you know, honestly, I thank them every day for the ability to come here. What you're speaking to is regarding the healthcare system. You know, the healthcare system is complex, and I think that is a massive, massive understatement. You know, I think the role that we in the job that we have, we see so many different types of disparities. We see people that can afford things, no problem. Absolutely. We also see people that can't afford anything, you know, anything really. And I think that in and of itself is an advantage and an example of a disadvantage too. How do we navigate that? I think, again, one of those things is recognizing it, recognizing that we have that. Let's say, for example, us in our scenario, we have the advantage of, if we wanted to go to the supermarket and buy everything organic, that's an advantage that we have. We can buy everything. We can shop along the outsides, the outer rim of the supermarket, and buy things. You know, there's a significant portion of the U.S. that doesn't have that luxury.
Wow.
I think one thing that we can do is we recognize it and try to help those individuals, right? Whether it's with our guidance, taking the time to show them within what they are able to do, how they can maximize their health, show them free resources, all of those things. I think that's massively important in terms of that advantage and how we can help others.
Wow. Wow. So for all our physician friends out there, Dr. P says it's not enough telling your patients to eat healthy. Actually show them what they can do within their budget. And I think that is very, very powerful. That's why he's a great family physician. But as we're talking, one of the things that I think sometimes is also missing, and I want us to speak to this, is the advantage of relationships. I mean, you are here as our guest today, sharing your expertise with us because of relationships. And I think when we miss out on relationships, we miss out on destiny helpers. Mm-hmm. And when we miss out on destiny helpers, fulfilling or achieving our destinies just become that hard. And so I truly, at the very core of me, as a matter of fact, last year in season 2 of Hour of Healing, I think for a whole 3-month stretch, Dr. P, we talked about relationships and why it's important to have the right kinds of relationships and how we can maintain the relationships that we find. So I want us to talk about that briefly. You talk about the man who the Bible says that his friends took off the roof of somebody's house to lower him down for Jesus to heal him. And every time I hear or read that passage in scripture, it strikes a chord within my heart that do I have people around me that at my direst moment of need will not think about the cost of replacing somebody else's roof, but will think about me getting well, me getting through what I'm getting through. So I truly believe that relationships are also a big advantage, but that's just my humble opinion. You are the guest, so I'll turn it over to you for us to hear your expertise on that.
So I think that us as humans, we are social, relational beings. I think that to be solitary, to not speak to anybody, in my humble opinion, I think goes against the core of what a human is. A human is meant to be relational and social with other people. The pastor at my church speaks about, and I will give Pastor James Lewis full credit for this term. He talks about battle buddies when you are going through, as you had mentioned, when you're going through difficult times, when you're going through moments of struggle. Do you have people that are there with you who will pray for you, who have your back, who are your buddies through that very, very tough, trying time? And the only way you know those people is by talking to them.
Wow.
The only way you can find that out is by being relational with those people, by being social with those people. Because it's very easy to speak to somebody and get a nature of what their core principles are in this life. And you can really only do that by being relational with people.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for siding with me there. And I like the battle buddies concept. I believe it's similar to what I call the burden bearers, mm-hmm. that people to bear the burdens of your life and to fight with you. So I like that, battle buddies. But I am also wondering, Dr. P, and I don't know if this will even be a legitimate question, but it's a conversation, so I will just bring it up. So the nature of the work that you and I do demands that we are able to function in a team. So in a team, that means that not everybody does the same thing. If it's a team, then it has to have different parts. Even the 11 field, 11 people on a soccer field have different positions. Mm-hmm. So how do we, as part of a team, go about seeing the various advantages that each party has for us to be able to harness that as a whole? I know in part one, you talked to us about our advantages as individuals and how we can develop it. How do we develop advantages in a team-based concept?
I think developing advantages in a team-based way, number one, comes with recognizing that each part of a team is vital. It may not be a great example, but I think of it as like a car engine. If one part of the car engine is faulty, the entire engine is then faulty.
Yes.
It may be something as simple as a rubber gasket.
Yep.
If the rubber gasket goes, you start leaking oil.
Yes.
Engine pressure goes down. You put your foot on the throttle and you're not going as, you're not really not going as much. If that analogy makes sense, let's talk about it in the work that we do. Every single member of the team is important. And it's easy to think about the provider. It's easy to think about the nursing aspect. We often don't think about the custodial staff. Because if the facility isn't clean, nobody's going to come.
True.
If the maintenance staff doesn't keep things operational, the doors aren't going to be open. We're not helping anybody. We're not helping anybody. The front desk staff, the medical assistants, every single part, it's very, 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 very easy to think that because we're the providers, that we're the mainstay. And there could be some elements of truth to that, but the truth is that we are all part of this incredible system, that ultimately sees an awesome outcome. And I think recognizing each part of that system is key, is extremely key.
Wow, thank you so much, Dr. P. And recognizing everybody is vital—that's a very powerful statement in it, just by itself. For all the big-headed people out there. But I want to kind of turn us to, we've talked about the work side, we've talked about the personal side. I want us to talk a bit about the spiritual aspect of this topic. And I will give a background to this set for our audience before I go in to asking you questions about this. As I sat down and I was deliberating on this topic, what is your advantage? My mind went straight, obviously, to the Gospel of John, where Jesus had been with his disciples for 3 years, taught them everything that he could teach them in 3 years, showed them everything he could show them in 3 years, and then said that when I go, you will get another helper. And it's very interesting, the wording in that passage, because it talks about the fact that that other helper will give you an advantage. And so when I read that, I asked myself that what was so important about having this advantage in life that after 3 years with the master himself, they needed a helper. So needless to say, there is something to be said about our spiritual life and advantages. So can you help us, Christian listeners out there, help them understand what this advantage is about spiritually. We've talked about on a personal level, getting the skills or the tools to do life. But what about our spiritual journey?
Have you ever watched the show The Chosen?
No, actually, I haven't.
You know, one thing that I deeply love about the show, The Chosen, is that the creator, Dallas Jenkins, he does such an excellent job with the cast that he has in terms of showing the human emotions that each of those disciples went through when Wow. they're on their journey with Jesus. You and I, we, you know, being born and brought up in the Christian faith, you read the Bible, whether it's at Sunday school, at church, and you read it, and oftentimes there's this assumption that the disciples just did what was instructed to them, and they were just very faithful and followed. What I appreciate so much about this show is that it shows the human emotions that these individuals wow. had, that they were just as human as we are, that they dealt with anxiety the same way we deal with anxiety. The only difference wow. is that just the time frames, right? Mm-hmm. They deal with the different aspects of being angry at a fellow Jewish person because they used to be a tax collector, right? Yeah. You really don't see that when you read the Bible, but it is there. But sometimes it's so easy to pass over it, just wow. reading the text over and over again. But what's so wonderful about this show is that it demonstrates it in such a profound way. So I think the one wonderful thing is that the Bible is essentially a manual. The Bible is a manual for this thing called life. When you go through any type of difficult time, any type of struggle that you have, there's a passage, the answer is there in the Bible. And I think that like we were saying before, sometimes you can read a passage 10, 12, 100 times, but it's maybe on the 102nd time or the 103rd time where what you read really pierces your heart in a different way and has a more profound meaning than the previous 100 times that you've read it.
Correct.
Because it's meant to be instructional for you in that moment, in your time of need. And that's something that I appreciate about this, that the answers are there. Wow. We just need to keep reading it and keep turning to it for answers for our tough times.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. P, in shedding that light on the Bible. And I will certainly be following that show, The Chosen, as well. And, you know, one thing that I was thinking about as you were giving us your answer is the fact that in the time of the disciples that we are talking about, they did not have this manual that we have. And so just having this manual of what they went through or what they did, their obedience, their disobedience, and the effects of those, whether good or bad, actually gives us advantage.
It gives us an advantage. And the thing is that when you watch the show, you'll see that they were seeing miracles done day after day, week after week, month after month that was recorded. But still, they didn't understand what the ultimate cost was going to be. You can see that Jesus, every single time, is a bit disappointed because he's trying to show by example each and every time. Wow. But it's just one of those things where in the moment they just genuinely didn't understand, because the thought was that he was going to be with them forever, a lengthy amount of time. Our advantage is that we have the answer. Wow. We have the answer that's written in so many different languages. That's accessible to everybody, absolutely. Either paper, digital, whatever the case
audio,
it's there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's very powerful thinking about the emotions of the disciples with Jesus during this time. And I want us to contextualize it to our conversation today, that in our daily lives, in even developing our advantages, there are a lot of emotions that come with what we are doing to just even be better versions of ourselves. That one, if we have the right relationship, we have the right connections, the right attitude, being humble about our advantages, there are other people there who have been through it, who can become a manual for us. Mm-hmm. And also, as you were talking about paying it forward in part one, that if there are no manuals available, then our experiences, we can look at it as paying it forward to become a manual for somebody else who will be coming behind us. So I think it benefits us in two dimensions, as in what we are receiving and what we are given. Mm-hmm. And I am a big proponent of the impact we make in life, that life is all about what you are receiving and what you are giving. Too much of either way becomes a problem for us. And so I think we can actually contextualize it into what we are talking about today. But Dr. P, I don't want to keep you too long today as well. So I will try to go to another set of questions so that we can start considering wrapping up. And I want to talk about disadvantages. Mm-hmm. That we've spent the past section and this section talking about advantages in life. But we all know that not everybody, one, realizes the advantage that they have, and two, not everybody will find themselves in an environment where their advantages can be honored. So how do we handle this advantage?
So I think first and foremost, we need to recognize that we are flawed human beings. There are only two people, two entities that were perfect. Mm. One is God. Second was his son that was given to us.
Mm. I'll add a third, though. Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that for us to recognize from square one, from first principles, that we are flawed human beings, we will mess up. We do have disadvantages. We need to recognize that. But I think that that's not something that we should stumble upon. I think that we need to seek advice and get perspective from others who have maybe gone through similar settings. What did they do? Mm. Can they give us some insight? Maybe they're observing something that we're doing that is a bit of a detriment to what our goal is. Maybe they see what we're doing, but they're saying, angle it this way or do this a little bit differently, and that helps us to get better. That's one thing. Ask for help. If we're struggling in one arena, if we're struggling in something that we just need assistance in, just ask for help. Mm. I think the most difficult thing sometimes, especially in our field, is sometimes asking for help, because there's a misperception of perfection that oftentimes is there, that we need to look a certain way, we need to act a certain way, we need to have a certain lifestyle. No, that's so not true. Mm. We are all individuals.
Absolutely.
We all have individual circumstances. There's no right or wrong. There's no one way to do all of this.
Yeah.
If we need help, we should absolutely ask for help. Mm. And that gets to what we were talking about before, about humans being social, relational people.
Correct.
And developing those battle buddies.
Yes.
Because they can be there for prayer. They can also be there for physical help if you need them, whatever the circumstances are as well. The other thing is, be resilient. Mm. Mm. God made us in his perfect, wonderful image. We are wonderful human beings. We should need to be resilient in the constant pursuit of what it is that we're trying to do. We need to stay persistent if we're trying to obtain an objective that we have.
Wow.
The other thing also is that we should always lean on the support that we have, whether it's our spouse, our children, our battle buddies that we spoke about, our church, our religious community, even our coworkers. Yeah. We have a support system. We need to utilize that. That's what it's there for. That's huge. The other thing also, and this ties into my second and my last thing, is that find the purpose in this challenge that you're going through. What is it in this challenge, in this difficult time that we're going through, that we're trying to develop and learn in ourselves? Are we trying to learn humility? Are we trying to learn grace? What is it that we're trying to learn in this struggle? And I think I try to summarize all this by this phrase of take the steps towards your goal, not the elevator. Because when you take your steps, it's an incremental building block that you're taking. If we all take the elevator to where we need to get to, it's very easy to take all the stuff that we left behind for granted and not really fully appreciate what it is that we finally do achieve.
Wow. Wow. That's very powerful. Take the steps to your goal, not the elevator. And I know it's the last phrase that you mentioned, but I think that is a very powerful principle in life. Taking the steps means you're doing the work. You're going through the process, not skipping steps, not taking the easy way out. And there is something to be said about discipline with what you said with taking the steps as well. So I think that's just a very, very powerful phrase, and that's why I brought it back up. And that is all just by you saying one phrase. So if we decide to continue with this, we will be here all night. But thank you so much for that powerful list that you gave us about how we can handle disadvantages. I want to ask you a last question. Could there be a situation or a scenario where a person doing their best to harness the advantage in life and develop it becomes a problem for that person or the people around them? And if that's the case, what do they do about it?
I think it can be, because I think that oftentimes if one does not have the ability to remain humble about that advantage, sometimes it can breed a little bit of toxicity. And wow. I think the term toxic we've talked here in regular discourse, but I think when that level of toxicity ferments and grows, it disseminates to the people that are around you. And the thing is that the people around you can oftentimes become uncomfortable, unhappy, disgruntled.
Wow.
And those feelings then get put back onto you.
True.
And I think it puts you in this a bit of a downward spiral. It really can. But that's where it really comes back to. We all have advantages. Remain humble about them. Constantly seek feedback. Constantly seek advice about what it is that you're doing correct or what it is that you could be doing better or could be doing differently. Wow. And seek that advice from numerous people that you trust, whose opinions and answers you really respect and trust.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. P, for that powerful answer. I want us to wrap up here, Dr. P, but I will not finish our conversation today without giving you the platform to share your final thoughts with us and anything about this topic that you believe or you feel is important for our audience to know, but for the sake of time, we didn't get to ask specific questions about. I'll give you the platform for you to be able to share those with our audience. And then I will wrap up for us.
I think that advantages are wonderful. I think we all have our own advantages, and I don't think we need to be ashamed about having certain advantages. I think the godly thing, the Christian thing that we can do is by recognizing our advantages, by again, putting it back into the community, back into the world that we live in. And much like tithing, if we test him in this, we'll see that his abundance will open even tenfold for us. And I think that by doing that, it's us that reap those rewards by putting those advantages out to help other people. Wow. I think that when it comes to struggle, all of us struggle in various arenas in life. But I think the big thing is finding purpose in the struggle, finding what it is that we're trying to learn in that struggle, and surrounding ourselves with valued, wonderful people that have our back, both physically, mentally, spiritually, during those tough, trying times.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. P, for your powerful summary of our conversation today, and also taking the time to be with us on Hour of Healing today. Dear audience, we thank you for sticking with us for the past week and today as we concluded our conversation on our advantage in life. I want to wrap up by sharing something that a mentor did share with me many years ago that I believe has really, really helped me. And it's actually a text in the book of Proverbs that says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I bring that up because where you are able to seek advice, there is something to be said about your ability to be able to grow. An advantage in life doesn't just happen, as Dr. P has helped us understand today, that we do gain advantage, whether by virtue of where we are born, or where we live, where we come from, or where we are, the time and the place where we are. But don't forget that in all these, he says that it's something you have to realize. You have to acknowledge that being an advantage and working on it. And so, dear friends, if you find yourself in any situation where you find that you are questioning whether you even have any advantages in life, that is the value of counselors that he talked about. That is the value of seeking out advice, seeking out people, asking for help, using the support systems around you. These are all advantages, but they are advantages to help you get to where you need to be in life. And I believe that if we are able to do that, we will not just be better for it, but our world will be a better place for it. Thank you so much, dear audience, for sticking with us. It's always a pleasure to be with you. We will come to you same time next week with another thought-provoking and life-changing topic. And don't forget to share our platform with your friends. Follow us on social media or the platform. And we will see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.